This is Palm Sunday. And as we were kind of just preparing for the service and preparing for it, we just felt like the Lord wanted to go in a little bit, the Spirit wanted to move differently today, in a quiet way, in a sweet way, to remind us that our faithful God is still faithful. He's on the throne, and that He's got something for each one of us. And even though, you know, we honor this day or we celebrate this day because of what the crowd did for Jesus, I want to read something to you. It's in the book of Zechariah. It's in chapter 9. And I want to read it to you. It says this: "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nation. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Because of the covenant I made with you, sealed with blood, I will free your prisoners from death in a waterless dungeon. Come back to the place of safety, all you prisoners who still have hope. I promise this very day that I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles." Jesus' triumphal entry was to fulfill this prophecy. What I love about this story, about this prophetic word from Zechariah, like we talked about here in this song, "I will prophesy your promise when I only see in part, when I only partly understand." And I think this is so beautiful because Zechariah only partly understood what was about to unfold, yet he prophesied the promise of God. There is a prophetic word inside of you that calls for the Holy Spirit. Lord, Lord, we need you. Lord, we call for you. And when we walk in that, what happens is, like Jesus, who was entering in to fulfill the prophecy, riding on a donkey's colt. He didn't come in on a white stallion prancing through the city. He came in humbly, to fulfill this prophecy. But what I love the most about this story is that I wonder if Jesus was hearing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, but in his mind he was thinking, next week you're gonna be saying, crucify him. And I wonder, how often do we get swayed by the voice of the crowd that's saying, oh, you're great, you're amazing, you're wonderful. It's okay, you can do that. It's all right, nobody cares. And the voice of your Father the whole time is saying, just keep doing what I've asked you to do. Just keep being faithful to me. You only look for my applause, that's all you need. Don't get swayed by the crowd, because the crowd is gonna be saying one thing. They're gonna bait you to the very end. And then at that moment, when you don't respond or react the way they want you to, they'll push you over the edge. Church, stay faithful to what God has asked you to do. It doesn't matter what the crowd says. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. What matters is we're only working for one person here. Jesus, that's it. The Holy Spirit is gonna speak strongly through you. I believe it, and I see it so faithfully that God is taking this church to the next level. I really do believe that. But press in. Press into what the Father is asking you to do, not what the voice of the crowd is telling you to do, because it might look very different. So stay faithful to what He's asked you to. Lord, we thank you, God, for this time. God, we thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, as we move into worship, as we move into more just singing to you, worshiping to you, Father God, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would humble our hearts. God, that we wouldn't be drawn to the voice of the crowd, God, but that we would be drawn to the voice of our Father in heaven. Lord, I thank you that you lead us and you guide us. You prepare our hearts for what you've called us to. Lord, we don't want to miss a thing. God, we don't want to miss one thing that you have for us. So we ask for you to just marinate our hearts in your love right now, God. Just solidify who you are to us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
God wants to break open some doors so that His Spirit can flow in areas of your life that have been stopped up. And when the dam breaks, God said you got to be ready for it. That's why there's often a separation when God is getting ready to do something new in your life, because it needs your undivided attention. Because there's work that has to be done, and you have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. And oftentimes it could be an uncomfortable place, a lonely place, because what you used to lean on, you can't lean on anymore. So scriptures like lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path, they become real to you during those times because you can't understand it. But God is doing something supernaturally to get you in position to receive. And the work of God, it's a supernatural work. It's not a natural work. It's supernatural. So God is cleaning house. And He cleans different the way you clean. Jesus said, you're already saved, but I still prune. And that word prune means clean, by pressure. So when God cleans, He pressure washes. Because He has to get to the dirt below the dirt. And if you ever pressure wash before, you know how it goes, you can spend 5-10 minutes on one spot just trying to get it out. Because underneath, it's white. It's white. But it takes a while to get there because of what's built up on it. The Bible says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are made white as snow. It doesn't mean you don't get dirty. And so He prunes, He cleans, so that you can bear more fruit, and so that that fruit remains. Many of you have been in this process a while, and you know what it is to lose fruit. But God said, I'm interested in you remaining with me so that your fruit can remain. And this is what I believe God's doing with the church. Because He said, they'll know you by your fruit. And so He wants a root system built so that when the pressure comes and the difficulty comes, that you bear more fruit. That's the difference being in Christ and being in the world. When pressure comes, and if you're in the world, you bolt. And even Christians bolt. But God said, the difference is that I can build in you a root system so that when the winds and waves do come, that you stand. You stand. And that you're built up in me. That's how you bear fruit, and that's how fruit remains. Because you have to remain in Him during that time. Because when you do, He gives you the strength to bear fruit. Repentance is a fruit. Perseverance is a fruit. You don't just get it, you develop it. And the way you develop it is by rejoicing in your circumstances and keep moving into it. You don't move away from it, you move into it. Jesus, during this week, He was moving into the city on His way to the cross. There was no other way. Jesus said, we got to do it this way. I know that the same people who are cheering me now are going to be saying, crucify, 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 but this is the only way, because I have to learn. I've got to be able to handle rejection now, because the cross was the ultimate form where He would feel the weight of the world, and it's where He would reject your rejection. So you don't serve a God who doesn't understand rejection. He understands what it looks like to be rejected by the very people he created. I want you to think about that for a minute. Knowing the thoughts, knowing the tendencies, understanding what he created and how he created will turn around and spit in his face. But still wrote in because he's sovereign. In Psalm 103, David says, I will praise the Lord. Deep down inside me, I will praise him. I will praise him because his name is holy. I will praise the Lord. I won't forget anything he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my sicknesses. He saves my life from going down into the grave. His faithful and tender love makes me feel like a king. He satisfies me with the good things I desire. Then I feel young and strong again, just like an eagle. You want to get strength again? Tap into who God created you to be and the things that you love. The Lord does what is right and fair for all who are treated badly. He told Moses all about his plans. He let the people of Israel see his mighty acts. The Lord is tender and kind. He is gracious. He is slow to get angry. He is full of love. He won't keep bringing charges against us. He won't stay angry with us forever. He doesn't punish us for our sins as much as we should be punished. He doesn't pay us back in keeping with the evil things we've done. He loves those who have respect for him. His love is as high as the heavens are above the earth. He has removed our sin from us. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. A father is tender and kind to his children. In the same way, the Lord is tender and kind to those who have respect for him. He knows what we are made of. He remembers that we are dust. The life of human beings is like grass. People grow like the flowers in the field. When the wind blows on them, they are gone. No one can tell that they had ever been there, but the Lord's love for those who have respect for him lasts forever and ever. Their children's children will know that he always does what is right. He always loves those who keep his covenant. He always does what is right for those who remember to obey his commands. The Lord has set up his throne in heaven. His kingdoms rule over all. Praise the Lord, you angels of his. Praise him, you mighty ones who carry out his orders and obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you angels in heaven. Praise him, all who serve him and do what he wants. Let everything the Lord has made praise him everywhere in his kingdom. I will praise the Lord. This is the kind of God that you serve. And as we go into this week, it's all about praise and adoration and recognizing why he came. Why he came. God is faithful to fulfill his promise. This was part of his promise. God will be faithful to you. Will be. Numerous times in this scripture, he says, to all those who respect him, God will honor. If we can't respect God for the things that he has done and for the things that he's doing, we are missing the mark of understanding the value of being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. What other human being can do what God does? No one. What other angel can do what God does? No one. And recognizing the sovereignty and the awesomeness of God is why we start this week off in Palm Sunday and doing it a little bit differently today, because we are in a season of adoration and praise for what God is doing and thanking him for the freedom and liberty. That's why I believe God set it up this way for us to understand. I came to bring freedom to the captives. I came to liberate people. I came to give people power, love, and self-discipline. All this is about me and why I'm here. I didn't come high and lifted up. I came lowly so that you can see me. Don't mistake lowly for weak. He's not weak. He has the power to lift you up out of your pit. He has the power to redeem your life from the grave. He has the power to speak life into you. He is not soft. God is not a man that he should lie. He does not lie. Your times are still in His hands. He doesn't miss an appointment. He's got you. Understand that you've been placed in this time frame, in this period, for such a time as this. You may not understand it, or you may not like it, but you're here. And the grace of God is sufficient for you now to walk out His good plan and His good purpose, and to see His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You know, God's heart is to bring His kingdom down here. That's why He saved you. The kingdom of God lives inside of you. That kingdom is righteousness and peace and joy and the Holy Ghost. It's not sadness, depression, weakness, and discouragement. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. And so if you're dealing with the former, we got to figure out how to get to the latter. If your life is full of sadness, depression, and misery, you're missing out on the point of the cross. I know this is not an Easter message on Easter Sunday, but we don't do that around here on the days we're supposed to. But you got to understand something about God. God transcends days. He transcends holidays. It doesn't matter if it's Christmas or not, God will still raise you up. If it's Easter, God will still speak life. It could be July 8th, and God will still speak a word into your life. And God is not bound by tradition. He's not bound by time. Jesus is seated in heavenly places. He's there already in victory. He doesn't have to get more victory. He's trying to pull you up. So you don't back down into depression and go backwards. God said, every time you do it, I'm going to stop you. Seasons are changing, He said. They're changing. And that means the old ways of doing things are dying. And that means your old habits, He said, are dying. So what you used to run to, you're not going to find any solace. It's going to be desert. And it's going to force you to run to Me, because I'm the giver of life. I'm what you need. The springs of life inside of you, that's where exactly they are. They're inside of you. I'm going to force you to run into Me. All your old friends are not going to be able to give it to you anymore. The places you search for are going to be like a parched land. And God said, I'm doing it for a reason. You're going to find barrenness where you're looking for water. God said, because I'm turning you toward Me. And when you see that I am all that you need, you'll begin to praise Me and worship Me, not just on Sunday, but you'll live a life of adoration because you know what I've done. That's what salvation is. You'll learn to praise Me in the good times and the bad times. You'll thank Me for who left. You'll thank Me for the hurt. You'll thank Me for not knowing your full purpose. You'll thank Me for stopping you from killing yourself. You'll thank Me for all the things that I saved you from. You'll thank Me for turning you around and not letting you go back to childish ways. You'll thank Me because I want sons and daughters who are growing up and mature. You'll begin to thank Me. All your complaining and depression, it'll turn into thanksgiving. If you'll just look to Me, I'm ready. I'm here. Stop settling. He said, in due time, I'll raise you up. In due time. That means there's a time for elevation. There's a time, Sharon, when the seasons will change. And you'll step out of the wilderness and walk in the blessing. Because the work that I was doing will be completed, and you'll have what you need to walk into the next season. In due time. Don't fall short. Don't miss it. Don't check out because you don't think it's your time or it should be your time. In due time. Just like a mother, and God said, just like a mother goes through a time when her baby is developing and growing inside of her. It's a necessary process for development, not only for the baby, but for the mother. But there comes a time when the water has to break and the baby has to come out. because staying too long becomes a threat to the baby and the mother. And God said, there's coming a time in due time where I'm going to induce the labor. And I'm going to bring you out of a season of mourning and lack into a season of blessing. And all that stuff that I did in your life was preparing you for the joy of what's coming next. But don't miss it. Don't miss it. I haven't called you to stay in seasons for years. I'm doing things quickly. And I'm bringing you from faith to faith and from glory to glory quickly. I need you to be on the ready, on the ready. Because even coming into this next season and even coming into this week, I'm going to begin to show you some things about myself, and you're going to start feeling life again in different parts of your body, in different parts of your life. And God said, I'm going to start speaking to you about things that I, long time ago, I'm going to start reminding you about stuff, and you're going to understand what resurrection life is. You're going to get your confidence back, and there's going to be things that are going to, you're going to be quickened in your body again this week, because I'm coming back and I've got to get things ready, and I'm not slow when it comes to my promises. I might be slow according to your time when I'm going to do it, but I'm not slow. I'm ready. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you, because all that stuff you used to hang on to, I'm waiting for that stuff to die and to go, so that it's just me and you. And when you recognize that it's just me and you, we're gonna fly. How many have some things in here you're believing God for right now, and that there's some things in your life that you know that God is shifting and he's moving? And God said, I see it. It's time to press in more. It's not time to give up. Don't do it. If you'll continue to trust me in the process, I'm going to fulfill my word in due time. Those things that you're believing for, I know what they are. Let's all stand to our feet if we can, as we close. God said, I'm holding back the delivery on purpose. Because there's still some things inside of you that I need to do. You're not quite ready for the blessing of it yet, but you will be. And so if I have to keep you in the oven a little longer, if I have to keep the pressure on a little bit more, I'm going to do it. Because when you're done, you're going to look like me, and you're going to talk like me. And this is what God is after in his body. He's looking for more people like him, not like everybody else. So if all you do is talk problem or talk world, you are missing out on the blessing of being in a relationship with God, who is about faith and works working together. So if all we do is complain, but we don't change perspective, or we don't work with him, we're missing out on the blessing of being in a relationship. That's why the Bible says that God wasn't pleased with most of the Israelites in the Old Testament. He wiped them out in the wilderness. Most of them, he said, I wasn't pleased with. Their perspective wasn't changing fast enough. I want you to look at your relationship with God, and let's just be honest with ourselves. Are you changing fast enough? Are you moving away from the old Leslie, and are you walking into the new Leslie that Jesus Christ died for? Or are we still hanging on to the old parts of Leslie that we're comfortable with? Whatever it is for you, is it the old way of doing things that God's saying, I'm still waiting for that area to die because you're still finding solace there? But I'm going to continue to dry it up until you look to me. because I have so much more for you than you can even think or imagine. But it has to be about me, and it has to be about my purpose. It has nothing to do with how you were raised and what kind of kid you think you were when you were a kid. God said, I'm doing something new in your life. I don't care what your brothers did. I don't care how your family raised you. God said, Scott, I have something specifically for you. You. And to stop looking at what you didn't get and who didn't come. God said, I have you right where you need to be. Press into me. I don't care what everybody else is saying around you. I don't care what your parents got. I don't care how your brothers were. God said, it's you and me. You don't have the time to keep trying to figure out why it went the way it went. You don't have the time. It's the enemy's distraction and ploy to try to keep you looking back at what happened there. What happened there? And you get fixated on something. And once you get fixated on something, you get distracted. You don't think so? Try it. You get distracted, and all of a sudden you realize I'm in a car and you're fixated on something that happened. And you should be looking around you, paying attention. And this is what God's saying. We got a lot of people fixated on stuff. The enemy has got it in their face, and they are looking at it, trying to figure it out, fixated, not realizing that while they're doing it, faith is leaving them. And they're missing them, what I'm doing, because they're trying to figure out what happened. And God says, stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to figure out why you are not, quote unquote, emotionally where you should be in your life. God said, I know where you are. In my weakness, your strength is made perfect. There are certain things I allow you to struggle with because you realize that it's in my grace and in my power that you're doing it. I'm not allowing you to get perfect, in quotes. Because if you got perfect, there'd be no need for me. So I'm allowing you to struggle, Paul. I'm allowing you to see the temptation. I'm allowing you to feel it so you rely on me and push into me and not try to do it in your own strength. I'm not taking it away. It's actually for your good. I'm not letting you think like everybody else. I'm not letting you do it like everybody else. It's not socially acceptable to do it like this or to do church like that. God said, I'm not interested in what's socially acceptable. I'm interested in you understanding what my perfect will is, my good, my acceptable will is. And the only way you get that is by presenting your body unto me. And you don't conform. So we're not into conforming. God said, we're into transformation. And transformation is hard and it's difficult because it requires your participation. Lord, for every person in this room, all hands are up in this room, Lord, who are in this process of transformation, we thank you for the transformation process. As you're bringing us into all that you have for us, as the old is dying and we are experiencing the new, we thank you for the things that are leaving. We thank you for the things that the new things that are coming in that they haven't come in yet. We can sense it by your spirit. We thank you for the new joy and the new peace and the power that we have because we're walking in you. We thank you for the strength that we have because we realize that it's in our weakness your strength is made perfect. We thank you for the new tenacity and the boldness that we have because we understand that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit. We thank you for the newness of your spirit that brings dead things back to life. We thank you for showing us the example as you came in on a colt in humility on what it means to serve. We thank you, God, that in due time you will raise us up as we submit ourselves unto you, that we will be elevated into positions of influence because you placed us there and realize that we're there for a reason, that your church will be the head and not the tail, that we will be the one to lead companies and organizations. That we will be on the forefront of what you're doing in the earth. That we will be the conduits of what the Spirit of God is doing. That we will do what you've called us to do because we know it's not by might. We know it's not by power. We know it's by your Spirit. We will do it because we know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.